to test this. Hello, testing. Here we go. Honk, honk. Here we go. That should be good. Let's move. Hello. Let me just...
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing the best I can. I'm hanging in there. Yeah, it goes. University and everything.
Yep.
Okay.
You feeling better now?
Yeah, it's getting better. It's slowly but surely. Like, the workload is just... You move things off the stack and it slowly gets a little bit more bearable. Your back stops the break.
That's how it goes.
It sounds like you're saying that from experience, but...
Yes, yeah. No, it doesn't stop at university, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. Okay, well... Welcome back, everybody, to Independent Incidentals. My name is Dominic. I believe it's episode 18. Oh, no. Did I not keep track of that? What kind of show host am I? Anyway, we're back. We have another interview. This one's going to be more focusing on, rather than last interview, which discussed window kill and the complexities of game development, we're going to talk about the complexities of sound design and sound tracks, and also the complexity of making a story. Please welcome Alpha Something.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me, Dominic.
Of course, it's a pleasure, truly. I seen this game for quite a while, Venba specifically, but I never really got around to playing it specifically because I had like a lot of other games that I wanted to get through before I got to this one, because I wanted this game to be a special little episode where I could interview someone from who made it and actually get like a full deep dive into the full cultural aspects of the game. So,
nice.
Without further ado, of course, please introduce yourself.
I am Alpha Something. I'm a musician and I was the composer and songwriter for Venba, Venba's original soundtrack. All songs but one.
Every single song, I believe, is that's the last song, right? If I remember correctly.
Yes, Tick Tick is the one song that we licensed from the Castless Collective, which is an amazing band based out of Chennai, which is also where the character Venba is from.
Oh, no, really? That's great. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So, a quick game overview then. Venba, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. of course, is a short story about a Tamil couple who moved from India to Canada in the somewhat late 1980s.
Correct.
So, thank you. This is the trivia round. If you people knew, if the audience knew what this game was, which I believe I said last week, you should have been doing your homework, people. Anyway. It plays a bit like a movie, like a kind of a more of a visual novel-esque game. Like you're witnessing you're going through time, basically. You're seeing the developments of this couple through many little pockets of time as time progresses, as they raise a child in a new country. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that is interactive, the most important part of the game, of course, is cooking. The catch is, of course, that the cookbook that Venba's mother gave her is all smeared and kind of tattered, meaning you have to kind of figure out through context clues how to put the pieces back together and how to make these traditional dishes.
That's right.
So specifically with the idea of cooking specifically, that most of these songs are played through a radio, right? Mm. What we usually call diegetic music. So the music is actually taking a part within the world that is being presented to us.
That's right. Venba is listening to those songs as she's cooking.
Exactly.
Usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is such an interesting concept to me, because the way you wrote the songs, I noticed, is not just like specifically regarding or contextualized in Tamil music, but it's also like it's the blend of electronic elements and also like traditional elements, mm-hmm. Could you go into a little bit more about your process there? Like, I am quite curious on how, like, you designed the song to kind of inhibit both spaces, because it kind of represents being in both places at once.
That's right. So I started out thinking the soundtrack was going to be a little bit lo-fi anyway, because it needs to sound like it's coming out of a radio, right? And we even discussed having some kind of filter on so that it actually sounds like it's coming from a radio, and then kind of fades into this fuller music that is more diegetic, you know, and that scores the scene itself. But we went with not even having to do that, because visually we show the radio turning on and now the song displays. So the song itself, we were just basing it off of the sound of the 80s and then the early 90s, late 90s, and then 2000s, and maybe the 2010s toward the end, where Tick Tick plays. So that was more of our focus when we decided on sounds for the song. And it was, it was all informed from the composers themselves that inspired those songs. So every single song is kind of a tribute to one specific composer, one specific lyricist, and kind of some of their best works in that time period.
That is really interesting. So do these specific songwriters who work with you, or like the singers who work with you, do they have like the particular, are they sort of within their own niche of being like from this specific era? Or do they just like want to do like a specific era? Like, I wanted to do that era, like before, like in the 80s era. Do they get to choose, or is it more so just like what fits when they were creating it?
We choose those eras based on which episode it's being placed in the game, right? So in the first episode, which takes place in the 80s, we come up with a song that plays tribute to Ilayaraja, who's this huge composer in Tamil, and he was extremely popular in the 80s. He still is popular, but he was so popular that I can't really name many other composers from that time, because he was kind of ruling the industry at that time. So the 80s level at the radio, it made sense that Venba would be listening to a song from Ilayaraja, right? So that's kind of how we stepped each song, and that's how we placed it in a timeline. But the one thing that did happen that was, we were extremely honored and fortunate that it happened, was one of the tributes was to this composer called Deva, and that's the level where they're making a puttu, right? So the level where and that level, we were trying to pay a tribute to Deva, and through some, you know, just a miracle of life, we actually got him to sing in the song. So it is actually him singing the song itself in the game.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was that one song in particular kind of caught me off guard, specifically because it was felt like full and vibrant. Like, it felt, strangely enough, like it was part of, it felt like it belonged in that atmosphere, so almost like it felt were in.
I mean,
there.
We worked on every song to try to make it, you know, even including the sound quality, try to make it belong to a certain time period, right? But this song, because we had the very guy who we were trying to model after singing, it just made that song a lot more authentic, right? Because it was just him singing. It's just his song.
Amazing. Also, and it's probably his first time actually making a song for a video game soundtrack as well. So it's kind of like a...
Right. Yes, this is the first fully Tamil video soundtrack, video game soundtrack, and definitely Deva's first video game soundtrack, I think.
Amazing. It's truly just the bridging of different mediums together. Like, the idea that this could even come to flourish like this is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome.
So, game overview. I believe most of the game in this case is covered. We'll be coming back to more specifics about how you got more in depth about how you got each of these songs and how you had the specific inspiration for each of these chapters. But I want to talk more about yourself. What got you started in composing specifically? What was like the earliest memory or instance that you remember like creating music?
Creating, that's an interesting question because I feel like I didn't really start composing properly until I got like the software tools that that cropped up, mainly like Fruity Loops and things like that that were very easily accessible. And that was when I was like 16 or 17. But before that, I grew up with a lot of music, in kind of a musical family. My mom sings, and we're all very inclined musically. So I learned Carnatic music, which is Indian classical music, as a child, but I wasn't very interested in it. I just kind of cruised through it, I guess, right? I didn't really take interest in it or anything at the time, but it helped me understand sound in terms of notes, I think, later on when I was composing using digital workstations and things like that. And so it was easier for me to compose without chords or anything like that, just more melodies and patterns, things like that. And
Of
then,
course,
yeah, I just learn along the way, learn theory along the way.
yeah. You just pick it up along the way.
That's
I
right.
think, yeah, most composers, I feel like, kind of have that same semblance. Like you just your style kind of is influenced by the things that you grew up with, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So in this case, it's just Indian classical music, and in my case, it
Yeah,
was
and
pretty
Indian
much video
film music
music, but
mainly.
yeah.
Yeah, and Indian film music is also, you know, like because we are exposed to a lot of Western music and just world music in general, Indian film music kind of brings a very specific fusion aspect to it. And Tamil music specifically, it has its own flavor and sounds like nothing else. And so, which is a part of the reason why we thought it would be really interesting to show each kind of like musical era of Tamil music in the game, because they're all going to sound really different, but they'll have the common thread of being, you know, like Tamil film music.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like, yeah, it just it you feel that progression as you go through, and I feel like it by showing a lot more people the way that progresses, you kind of are able to actually immerse them inside of that culture, which is what I think the main one of the main goals in this game
Yeah,
is.
absolutely.
So, when you was this the first game that you made a soundtrack for, or what was like the lead up in order to get called on to make this entire soundtrack for this game?
Well, I've actually had the pleasure of making the soundtrack for all of Abhi's game ever since he started making games because he's my little brother. And so we've scored a lot of his games as like just small projects or when he was learning how to make games and things like that. So when he was making this first big serious project, it just kind of fell naturally that that I'd be composing it with, because we talked about it a lot, talked about what the soundtrack would be and things like that. So it was just a natural fit.
I see. Yeah, there's a lot of like that. It's interesting. Like, I didn't know that. That's actually very interesting lore right there.
That's right.
So, growing up then, like, what were some of these like older projects that you used to compose for? Like, could you describe like what some of the concepts that conceptually were?
Yeah. I remember one of the first projects that was almost just I'd be learning how to make games in Unity, I think, back in that time. And it was called Chromaticus, if I'm not
Chromaticus, I
wrong. I
like it.
don't think it's out on the store or anything like that, but it's a game where you are basically it's a side scroller where you're a jet plane or a rocket of some sort, and all these different colored globes come at you. You have to change your own color to match the one that you collide with in order to not be damaged. And that was kind of the mechanic of the game. And so you just change colors as you go through this field of differently
Okay, so
colored
like sort of like a
obstacles,
bullet hell kind of
I guess.
side
Yes.
scroller kind of game. Okay.
Yeah. So that was such a fun game, and it was, again, like it was an experiment in composing because you basically the level got faster and faster, and so we had to show the music getting more intense, but without actually speeding up the music. So that was kind of the experiment we did with that.
Oh, okay.
Just
So
layer in
I
and
see.
tie your points or kind of the level you're at to the game, to which soundtrack is playing in the background, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you kind of made like the soundtrack get more full, more and more instruments got in as he progressed.
Yeah, different elements of the soundtrack would be volume controlled by where the level's at, basically.
That is very dynamic music specifically. It does also appear in Venba occasionally. I notice, like, I kind of pick up, like, sometimes when you're in a specific like a tutorial phase when Venba is explaining to you how to make this specific dish, you don't get the vocals until afterwards, until you finally are in the middle of it.
That's right. Yes, even though we made full songs and they're supposed to be playing off the radio, there were some adjustments we made just to kind of fit the way the game works. So, for example, when the song ends, it still loops into like an instrumental interlude of the song itself, and that way you feel like you're still in the same episode, right? Like you don't ever go to the next song. And sometimes, when the food is ready, the score that plays that introduces like this finished good-looking food is also based on the song itself, so it kind of doesn't break you from the mood of when you were cooking.
Exactly. Yeah, it's also like there's like little ambient tracks in between when there's mostly just dialogue. So it kind of is able to separate that so you can see like the prologue, cooking, epilogue, and then it moves on to the next chapter, which is kind of very, very well illustrated when you play the game. So then you make games for your little for you make you make sorry, you make songs for your little brother until eventually this game comes out. Basically, like he has the idea for this new game that takes place as a full, like it has a full team behind it and everything. What was your reaction coming into that?
It was very exciting. I think as soon as we discussed the idea of this being kind of a tribute to Tamil film music as a whole, and as soon as we started discussing the ideas for like who we're paying tribute to and like what that's going to sound like and all that, it just felt super exciting. I couldn't stop coming up with ideas and little yeah, just like not even song ideas, but like, oh, what if we used this instrument? What if we, like made a song like this? Or what if we based it off of, what if we came up with lore for each song? Because if it happens in a film, then what film does it happen in? Like, who's directing that film, right? Like that kind of, we just went really deep into it for for almost no
Interesting.
reason, because we were just that excited about it.
I mean, world building in general is a very, very, very helpful thing to flesh out what you want, what direction you want, like the story to go. It kind of facilitates the entire thing. It's like the dish. It's like the dish. It's like the plate when you're giving out a dish. It's exactly that. So,
Exactly.
what is the general vibe when you get someone to get when some like when your brother gets you to make a soundtrack? Does he have like a specific goal? Obviously you mentioned how you like workshop with him and talk about all this kind of stuff, but when you're actually down and you're finally are able to make the songs for it, like, do you know specifically what specific scene is happening at what specific time, or do you just like kind of
Yeah, absolutely. When Abi or any other kind of, like a producer, director, a writer, whoever I work with for the soundtracks, like when they give me the direction for it, we usually discuss what situation it needs to happen in, to try and make as many connections to that as possible, right? And so I kind of take all those ideas back and sit and think about like a few options about like how, I guess it's like you have a bunch of pieces of a puzzle and you're trying to put them together in like different ways and see which one fits the best, right?
yes.
Because there is no one answer when it comes to composing.
Video game design in general, and I guess any medium design, is just one big creative puzzle trying to fit all of the different elements together to make like a big cohesive thing that makes people feel emotions. It's crazy.
Yeah. insane if you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, specifically, I'm trying to pinpoint exactly where it was, but there was one specific thing that got me. We'll get to that later. For now, though, I believe... Let me just double check. Right. So yeah, when the game specifically finally got released, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After the fact, great praise, all that kind of stuff. How did you feel as like a composer specifically, like when you finally got all of this stuff done? Because I know like for a lot of people who do these kind of projects, they're like they still want to get in and like work on stuff after the fact, which is interesting to me. Because I was talking to that other developer who just, when he finished the game, he just went back right back in and started tweaking more stuff. But did you ever have that feeling? Like, when do you feel like you were done making the soundtrack?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Because when we were thinking about even doing a DLC for the game where the radio is just a playable element in the game, where you don't have to go through the levels, you can just open up the game, open up the radio, and just listen to the songs, right? So even when we were making that update, I had this thought where I was like, oh, do I need to remix and remaster all the songs for this, right? Because I could, and it could be better. It could be made, you know, I could fix all the mistakes that I keep finding when I listen to these songs. But at one point, like, I've made enough songs to know that that's never going to stop. So it's about when you're happy enough with it, because you're never going to be fully happy with it, I think.
No, absolutely. it's the blight of being a creative a lot of the time. It's like you just have to look at it and you're like, okay, this is good enough in my eyes, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can get like second opinions.
And that's
the
thing. Like, I think if I look at it a year from now and it sounds terrible, that's probably because I've become that much better in a year. And that's a good sign.
Exactly.
I think we should all make things that we cringe at a year later.
Hear that, audience? Make stuff that makes you cringe.
That's right.
So I want to specifically talk about more about the game itself. So when you were composing all these songs and then you finally look back at this and you're like, okay, the soundtrack's done, did you actually go through and like play the game fully, like by yourself, or did you kind of feel like you already knew enough about the game?
I knew enough about the game, but I think the first time playing it fully through definitely gave me an experience that you know, knowing the parts did not really give me. So it was very valuable playing the game fully with the soundtrack and everything to kind of feel it as someone who's consuming it as a whole, as opposed to someone who's kind of looking at it from behind. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think you'd have a way more intrinsic knowledge as well, so it kind of like plays into like, oh, this is like the full color, this is like the full scene that I was composing for.
It's the difference between you know, building a car and driving it after you've built
exactly.
it. So it's like you get to experience all that work you put in it, and you see it all coming together.
It is quite fascinating. But
yeah,
a more general, now we can finally get into spoilers since it's been the 30 minute mark. What fun.
Yeah.
What was the most, when you were playing it fully, like obviously you knew the story beats, so you knew about when Venba's husband got assaulted, you know, like specifically all these kind of story beats that follow through. What was the most heart-wrenching one, like the one that kind of like made you like feel?
It's definitely the one that got everyone. So if you search for Venba crying on YouTube, you have tons of like reaction videos of like people literally crying tears at like certain points in the game. And so one of that is actually the core of the game. When Abby was first thinking about making this game, this was the moment that he had written, and this was the moment that he had in mind, which developed into the entire game. So, and that kind of like that kernel of the idea was the level where Venba makes six different dishes.
There's
and then and this is for coming birthday and he doesn't show up.
Painful. Is
Yeah.
that definitely was the one that made me feel like the most hollow. And I was like, I was looking at that scene. I was like, you're the one who's making these dishes, by the way, audience. So like
Yes.
when you're looking at yourself and you like you look at all your accomplishments, you see the full menagerie of different dishes laid
It's
out
a
from behind for
spread.
you, and you're like,
Yeah.
this is me, this is my work putting into this. And then you get the text and he doesn't show up, and you're like, you feel that more than you would have just like watching a movie, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Like it does something to you that a movie couldn't, because you were spending all that time like putting together all those dishes and you were having fun doing it. So like there's that whole emotional investment in what's going on screen that really gets you when the twist happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also some extra context as well. Like Venba's husband died in between, like in the interim. He passed away. Like it's like very, very heartfully emotional stuff. But the secret is that they don't tell you that. So you slowly begin to realize the full weight of Venba's child not showing up. And that's, I think, absolutely the most heart-wrenching moment. I completely
Yeah, the
blew
weight
my mind.
of Venba's, like almost absolute loneliness, without Pavlen being there and coming not showing up is just, yeah, it's hard to recover from.
But of course, it does get better. I mean, like, there's still way more emotional stuff. But the interesting thing as well is when you're playing as Venba's son. Correct me if I'm
Yes,
wrong.
and that's. Yeah, and that's the really interesting part too. Like, as soon as that happens, you're at the point where like you hate Coven so much right now
Oh,
for
yeah.
doing this, right? And then it cuts, and it like the next scene is that you are Coven, so deal with that, right?
You are him now.
Yeah.
And what I like too also is you can scroll up when you're seeing the text message. I realized you can actually scroll up on the text messages and you can see all of the texts
That's
that
right.
Davin
That's right.
ignored
I'm so glad. I'm so
beforehand.
glad you got that. Yeah.
It's,
Like
yeah.
that was put in, like as one of those Easter eggs that not many people see. But I'm super glad you caught that because it
Yeah.
adds so much, like texture to the relationship that Venba has with her son.
This is, and then you play as him. And correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there is no real music specifically that kind of contextualizes that part when you're cooking as him. Am I correct, or is that?
When you're cooking as a coven?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there is no like music there because he's not listening to it. But then there is music when he tastes what he's making, and it's like it reminds him of a memory.
He has a Ratatouille
And so
moment,
like
yeah.
that, yes, and so like that is scored for.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it only triggers once he's back in that memory. So he's kind of hearing back. That's actually very interesting. He's hearing back to the music that his mother played.
No, not necessarily, but it's scored for that moment. He actually remembers back a phone conversation that his mother was having when he was sick, and his mother was like feeding him food and talking about something sad that is being alluded to as happening back home. And it's like what is implied is that Venba is dealing with a death in the family, but is not really telling the full story to Coven, but just says something that is more child friendly,
They're
like
going
some
away now.
people,
Yeah.
yes, exactly, like some people have to leave you sometimes, that kind of stuff. And so that is the memory that comes back to him when he tastes the same food that he was being fed. That which he's now making off of the recipe book.
Yeah, I do remember now. And I also remember the achievement you do when you're scrolling on his phone. It's called
Right. Yeah.
doom scrolling.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
remember that specifically, so I'm like, yeah, this is pretty much just the doom scroll. Like he's in that cycle, but he finds his way out at the end, which is a very positive conclusion. I think
it is a happy game, you know, notwithstanding all the low points that it takes the player to.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like eventually, like, you come out on the other end.
That's right.
Finally reconnect with his mother, and, you know, it's just such a beautifully told story. Like, it's fantastically made. So, that is pretty much the overview. I hope you guys get it. You can get it. Just wait for the sale, you guys. You can get it if you're poor. It's okay. Don't worry.
It's currently on 50% off sale.
Exactly. So get it while you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll be playing one of the songs from the soundtrack. We'll do the one that featured Deva specifically.
Let's do it.
And we'll see you all on the other side, and we'll talk a bit about it afterwards. So, hope you stick around. All right. Welcome back, everybody. What'd you guys think? Did you think it was cool? I think it's pretty cool. I think it has such an energy to it. Could you quickly describe to me how it was? Did you specifically talk to him in particular, or did you just kind of give instructions that were sent to him and he recorded it?
A bit of both. Actually, it took me a long, long time to even reach him. And I pulled all the strings that I had and used my connections from like many years ago when I was in India, working as an assistant to this composer who's kind of related to him. And so I went through so many people before I found someone who could actually link me up with him and help me kind of describe this project and ask him if he'd be interested in singing for it. So that itself was a journey. And then on the recording day, it was really surreal. It was me and Abhi on a video call with him, just giving him kind of a briefing on what this is and what we're doing. But of course, we had sent the tracks and the lyrics and everything else beforehand. So he had the opportunity to like take a look at it and ask for clarifications and things like that. So that's how we made it happen. It was remote, but we did have the opportunity to chat with him over video.
Oh, that must be such a surreal experience, honestly.
It was. I still can't believe it happened.
So talk to me specifically about like the this is the second song, I believe.
Yes.
In chapter 2 when they're making, how do you pronounce it specifically? Apologies.
Put it.
Okay. Yeah. When they're making that specific dish. Mm-hmm. Describe to me like the process of making the writing the lyrics to it. Like what specifically are they saying in the song that would then relate back to that chapter?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So the one decision to be made was that the song was going to be set in the early 90s. And so the composer Deva was a debutante at that time, and he kind of roared into the industry and brought his own genres into Tamil film music that would distinguish him from everyone before him and also his contemporaries and also like anyone that came after him now that it's been so many years later, right? So his specific sound would be very tied into like this urban folk genre of Chennai, right? And so a lot of the lyrics also will be about local places and you know, like it will kind of talk about places a lot in the songs, right? It'll have references to specific areas of Chennai in a lot of the songs. And so we wanted to capture that. And also, you know, like what fun writing this song, which would then be almost a tribute to Chennai itself, right? And if Deva can sing it, then it's just like it cannot be more perfect than that. So,
all the pieces in this puzzle just kind of click together.
Like, what? How could this ever get better, right?
Amazing.
And so And so that's what went into the lyrics. Chellakutti means, you know, like a dear one. It's kind of a term of endearment that people call their kids or their pets or their lovers, whatever, right? Like it's like saying baby. So it's basically a song that says Chennai is my Chellakutti, right? So it's kind of a song that is, again, because we wrote all the lore for this, it's a song that is set in some kind of a movie where the protagonist is going on a bus with his lover and kind of singing the song along the way.
I mean, so yeah, that's like the internal explanation for this song that
That's right.
exists inside of this specific world. That's
Exactly.
incredible.
Yeah.
The amount of
Yeah.
depth in that, and specifically trying to like articulate like the actual movie that this song that is playing out of the radio that is being heard
Yeah.
by the player, that the player won't even know about, is
Exactly.
amazing.
But it will give them the feeling of authenticity, right? Like, because the song is very specific. It's being sung to someone that is very specific, and it's set in like a very, so the lore really just helps us go for specificity instead of making something that's kind of like a generic attribute, right? And that way it adds even more, I guess it helps us respect that entire genre as a whole when we do that.
You have way more careful. You actually have to like work within these specific restraints, and they allow you
Right.
to inhibit the actual, I guess, authentic vibe or aesthetic of that city, which is incredible.
Yeah. And that is that genre is called Gaana. And so Gaana is like this, I don't know, it's endemic to Chennai, and it has a lot of influences from like other Indian genres of music, but it's very percussion heavy. It's got its own kind of swing to it. So the way I would put it is that if Chennai came up with their own jazz, like it would be Ghana would be it.
That's amazing. Yeah. You kind of is it apologies, this might be a bit of an ignorant question, but is it kind of similar to Tick Tick in that sort of kind of style vibe? Because I've kind of felt that same kind of groove in that song as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So Tick Tick is also a you know, like it's Castless Collective is a Ghana band. So Tick Tick is heavily it has Ghana elements in it. It's just much more modern and came out just a few years ago, as opposed to the Ghana of Deva, which came out in the 90s.
Which is an interesting callback as well, because it's at both times in both instances where you hear both of these songs heard is when Venba and Dom are together. Like they exist codependently and are making something together, right? Those are the only two chapters where they both are together in making something.
That's right. Yeah,
Very.
they are kind of making it together, or she is making it specifically for him type of situation. Yes, that's an interesting observation. We never really made that connection that both of those are kind of scored by Ghana.
That's amazing. I mean, it's just kind of intrinsic to how it kind of feels, and it's amazing to me. Now, I do also
That's
want to
right.
talk about there's a specific I believe it was it the one song in particular where she's walking with Tavin and in like the middle of the night, and he's t asking her questions about how she met her husband. In just like actually being on like fully being one to one, being completely authentic with her child, was that Rasa? I believe that's the song that what
Yes.
was okay. Talk to me specifically about like the instrumentation on that. Like I notice it's a lot of like it feels more orchestrated rather than like taking place
Yes.
specifically in Tamil culture. But I would like to hear,
Exactly,
yeah.
because again, it is a it's not diegetic, so this gives me the opportunity to actually score a scene just like it was a scene in a movie, right? So, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Like it is just kind of like this ballad that plays in the background, as because the conversation in the park does kind of lead up to something sad, so it is supposed to evoke that even before you see that Pavlan is sitting on a bench being all like beat up, right? So that's kind of where we wanted to go with that. And so orchestral and kind of all of it coming to a crescendo, and of course Divya's beautiful voice there. It was initially just supposed to be some humming, and but because of how much I like the voice, I made it into like a full song itself, and that really worked with Abby as well. And so we went with it, and that's why Rasa is a full-on song now.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't it get like it gets obviously more full towards when you finally realize that he got beat up and like you can see him on the street like with a cut on his face, and
Yes.
it kind of gives it kind of more of a swell, because if it was just like humming the entire time, I feel like you wouldn't get like the full impact of that moment. I think that was a perfect direction to go with. What would
Yeah,
that.
and the lyric also is a mother kind of searching for her lost son, or the song kind of just talks about, you know, like it's after dark, why haven't you come back home? Kind of, it's that kind of a song, right? So, and in the foreground, it is Venba and Kavin going in search of Pavlan, who hasn't come back from work yet, right? So that's kind of the connection there.
I see. Yeah. So it again, it has that sort of. This one specifically is non-diegetic, so it doesn't really have like it doesn't ha take place in the actual reality. So you don't have to worry about the constraints there, but you have to still like kind of give it that. Like Pavlon is like hurt. Like he didn't come back to from work, and hasn't been seen for a couple of hours, and they're just slowly anticipating that one specific
Right.
moment.
Yes, exactly. So that sense of longing and almost anxiety, of not knowing what has happened, is that's what we were trying to make come through there.
Amazing. I still find that one to be like the most like that one before that other scene where Tavin doesn't come to the celebration. That one just hit me as well. And you can see him also because he was a writer when he was back working back in the homeland, and he just like it just starts writing again. Like that's the one thing that finally gets him back out. And I think that's the last
That's
scene you
right.
see of Pavlon, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And if you notice, he actually inherits Pavlan's glasses, which Pavlan had, it was broken at this park incident, and Pavlan still sticks it together with tape, and that's what he wears for the rest of the game. And then Kavin then inherits those glasses
Oh, I
from
didn't notice
Pavlan.
that.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Just like the tiny little things, like the being able to swipe on the phone and all that kind of stuff. It just gets me. Like,
Yeah.
people gotta have more stuff like that. It's the only way you can tell like a full story, in my opinion. You get to like
That's right. Yeah.
peel
But
apart the
like, I think
edges.
that, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think the great thing with Venba that Abby did was that even though it was a short game, gameplay time-wise, it had so much time you could spend with it. You could go back and do all these things and figure out more of the story. So it's like you get this one or a series of episodes from the story, but if you spend more time with it, you'll actually read a much larger story from it.
And that just goes to show how well put together the story is. It's a absolute accomplishment in this case. Yeah, I think we're almost at the end of time, unfortunately. Everyone in the audience say, "Aw." But we have a few more questions I just want to quickly go over generally. Like, I think the main criticism of this game is that it's too short. Now, the
Right.
only issue with this complaint is that the story is really well told. And I feel like if you make, like, people like focusing on gameplay specifically, right? So they obviously are going to be, like, kind of uppity about that. But what do you think about people who just kind of focus on games more so as a means of mindlessness rather than actually, like, being able to tell a full story inside of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the anti-game for that kind of mindset, right? Because like I said, like you could play this game in 45 minutes, or you could play this game in 3 hours, or you know, like you could come back and have spent maybe 10 hours on the game with the different details. So the gameplay time really depends on how much, how much capacity for information you have. That's how I would put it, because I think the gameplay itself, like the amount of story told, is the perfect length. I don't think you could say much more without spoon feeding some of the details, or making it unnecessarily long by including just more recipes to cook and things like that, right? Like those wouldn't really move the story forward. Like I think the story
Exactly,
is
yeah.
told in perfect act, and it kind of resolves when it needs to resolve.
Yeah. I think it's just more of an obsession of like people believing that they should get their $15 worth. But you don't just attribute that just to how long you've played it. That doesn't really mean anything. What matters is like exactly what you were saying, like how much attention to detail you've like are willing to focus on when you're playing these kind of games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like the gameplay time really depends on what capacity for or curiosity you have for what's being presented in front of you, right? Like a lot of people don't really scroll up on the phone, but if you do, you get to now experience a new aspect of like one of the characters, right? So that kind of stuff is sprinkled throughout the game, and like I was saying, like even the music and everything has its own lore. So if you think about what is this song about, or like who, like what are they saying in this, that kind of stuff, like you can unlock almost like a lot of just a lot of more
Intrinsic knowledge
background
about like the
material
actual
for the
world
game.
itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you there. That's like the main thing that kind of drew me to this game. It's something that also kind of hearkened to me when the effects artist was actually presenting at this university. She was focusing like exactly on how exactly were these dishes made? Like what effects do you need in order to like fully immerse the player inside of this world? Because it's not just it's so many small components that kind of build up into this large tapestry of
Yeah,
narrative that allows you
absolutely.
to be captured inside of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, Neha did an amazing job with, like actually doing the cooking and just putting a mic to it, at the expense of a lot of filters, I think. But
Oh no.
just for the oil splatters,
Can
but
only
she
imagine.
recorded actual cooking sounds and used those for the Foley. So, and her goal going into it was to make it sound like you've just entered the childhood kitchen that she remembers growing up with, right? So, and that's kind of the effect that everyone got out of it.
Absolutely. It's not just a game that's kind of centered around one central theme, but it's like the culmination of like a bunch of people's stories coming together with the music and the game design and like all of the narrative that leads up to it. Like all of it is m like many, many people's experiences put into one game, which is just kind of like shows it gives you so much depth in a lot of ways. And it's kind of like a lot of the reasons why I like talking about these games, because these are games are made of passion. They're not just here to have like a market sale. They're not here to market it to you. They're just here to actually give you a full story that you're able to get immersed in.
Absolutely.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Alpha. If there's anything that you would like to plug before we are unfortunately have to say goodbye to the audience, feel free to.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. This was an absolute pleasure. And for anyone listening who's interested, who hasn't played Venba yet, it is 50% off right now. So
It sure
the
is.
best time to play it, if you haven't yet, is now.
You could use a little bit of money. Come on. Just
That's right.
give it a little play. Give it a little play. You won't be disappointed, trust me. It will make you cry.
That's right. Yes, you will get your money's worth of crying.
Exactly. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope maybe if you have any other projects in the future, I might send you another email to your way and we can talk about that one as well. That'll be
Yes,
exciting.
I'm currently working on the soundtrack of another indie studios game called Ikeem, which is set to release later this year as well. So you will hear about it.
That is very exciting. I am pumped.
Thank you so much.
All
right.
See you all next week. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Ooh. Here we go. What a great little thing, wasn't that, audience? I hope you got some. I hope you got some fun stuff out of that. We're gonna be. I think. I don't know if we're gonna be taking a break. We still got a couple more weeks. So that was all of the interviews I had lined up. I hope you guys enjoyed. I mean, it's been an absolute romp actually getting people who actually worked on these games to talk about, right? But specifically, I hope. Here's my hope. I want to actually play more games, right? Obviously. That's kind of the idea I had for all of this kind of stuff that I've been leading up to. Because before this, before the last interview with Takato, we pretty much had a complete filler episode. That's not what I want to do with the show anymore, right? I want to kind of give more life into it. I want to give more perspectives. So maybe I'll get some more people on the show. More informative format, while also getting some of my friends as well to give a little bit more liveliness, like we did with last year's show, After Class with Dominic. It kind of harken back to that, while also keeping the structure and tenacity of this one. So, I hope you all stay tuned for that. I'm hoping, some games I'm hoping to get done. Ultra Kill, get an actual, like, real in-depth analysis of Ultra Kill and some of the cool, like, inside, like, P-rank, like, perfect levels and stuff like that. Just give you, like, a full run-through of those and give you, like, all the deets about people who worked on it. Also, I've been kind of, like, hinting at it for a couple of months. I think during the entire year, actually. Disco Elysium. That's one game that I actually want to beat. There's one game I want to beat. It's going to be that one. I'm going to either do it, hopefully sometime. I'm going to check if I can run this show, because I'm going to be here in Waterloo for who knows how long. So hopefully we'll get that done as well. So that is the plan. I hope you all stay tuned for that. And we're going to get more people on the show, trust me. And if they want to come back, Torquato and Alpha something, they are more than welcome to if they have any cool, fun projects. If you're out there and you're listening, I love you. Anyway. I'll see you all next week. I don't know what we're going to be covering, but it's going to be a hoot and a holler either way, so stay tuned. Bye-bye.